Well, good morning, everybody. It's Friday here at Coast Community Radio, and I'm your host, Jim Wilkins, ably assisted by engineer par excellence, Terry Wilson. Terry, thank you very much for your help. And we're happy to have with us as a guest here in the studio, Don Larson, who is the mayor of Seaside, Oregon, and is up for election and has actually got a challenger this time. So
you are right, Jim, and I thank you for inviting me.
My pleasure, Don. Tell me a little bit about your biographical situation.
Well, let me tell you that. I'd be proud to tell you. I started out with the Oregon Army National Guard and spent 35 total years in the Army Reserve, attaining the rank of Sergeant Major. And after that, and during that time, I decided to volunteer at the David Douglas School District in Portland, where we lived and where our three kids went. So I was on the school board for 13 years. I was on the budget committee before that, very active in David Douglas District. And because of that, when I moved to Seaside 23 years ago, I thought, I have to do something. I want to volunteer. I've retired, been retired 23 years. So I started working on the vacation rental business in Seaside, went on to the Planning Commission, on to the City Council. And now the last three terms, I've been mayor.
Well, now you're running again. Are you trying to challenge the record of Willis Van Dusen?
Well, I don't think I can keep up with Willis because he started when he was 30 years old.
Yeah.
But I admire him and his leadership abilities. I've learned a lot from him, and we've worked together beautifully. We are good friends in this business.
Yeah, Willis is a buddy of mine, too. Are you going to the mayor's ball this weekend?
I'm unable to go. It's an extremely costly dinner, and I also have some other things that I should be doing, so I'm not going to be there. But I assume the five mayors will get together afterwards, and we'll take care of Willis. Don't worry.
Yeah, he needs somebody to take care of him. Well, what are the big issues facing the city of Seaside now, generally, Don?
Well, we're really looking for some development. We need new homes to be built to keep our planning department going. We have a beautiful new motel that was finished this summer, and we're looking forward to some more building. We've had one of the best summers financially in the motel business that we've had. One motel said, in 40 years, this is the best summer we've had. So, of course, that makes people happy. But also, we're doing a lot as a city. I don't know if everybody knows, we are now a green city in our disposal of our waste. We have put in the dryer. We dry all our waste. Our water, our sewer water.
Sludge.
We used to dump the sludge every day and haul the sludge to our farm or to some other place. Now we have about one trailer load of dry product maybe every week, maybe closer to 2 weeks. So we've done a lot on that. We've upgraded our 1986 wastewater treatment plant, and we're very, very proud of that. We're waiting for the final DEQ approval. We have about, we're close to 90-some percent this being approved, so we're just waiting for that.
Well, I'm curious, Don, that dried sludge, what use does that have?
Well, right now, we are looking at what use. It could just be as fill in your yard. It could be a ground cover. We're working on that now. We need final approval from DEQ, and so far looks good. It would just probably be a fill material. But when you think of about one trailer load every week to 2 weeks, instead of a load of sludge that we spread on our farm or other places every day.
Mm-hmm.
We're very, very, very happy with this. Also, we're working on the wall, the edge, the water area where the water almost touched our plant. We were about 8 or 9 feet away, and we spent $200,000 putting in rock last fall, and we are now in the process of hoping to do the next 800 feet to protect that from, you know, the river decides it goes where it wants to go, whether we have something there or not. You know that.
Yeah, well, I had Neil Main, as I mentioned earlier, on here a while back, and we talked about that. He says about every 10 years that river wants to migrate either to the north or to the south.
And right now, we have to protect our shoreline, and that's what we're doing. We're borrowing money from land board. We're borrowing $800,000, But I'm really happy to say that I'm on the Governor's Oregon Solutions Committee, and we have designated $100,000 for the shoring up of that wall in Seaside. So we hope to get $100,000. Now, you know, money isn't free, but if we have an $800,000 bill and we get $100,000, that's a marvelous piece to pay down on an $800,000 loan.
That armoring of that south part of that estuary, that's been going on for years, as I recall.
It comes and goes. A few years ago, probably 5 years, 6 years ago, we worked closely with the Corps of Engineers. We were hoping that the structure that's down below the water level was owned by the Corps of Engineers, because if it was, then they would have to build this back up again. But unfortunately, it was ours. We have to do it. They won't help us.
Well, that's just going to be an ongoing expense for your city then.
Ongoing expense, yes. But we have to do it. Mm-hmm. We can't move our wastewater plant. We can't do that. So we have to shore it up.
Well, that's the wastewater has to be dealt with.
Yes.
Yes. No two ways about it. I'm curious now, we kind of mentioned before we started the show, we've seen, as a result of climate change, reports of rise in the sea level, and to the tune of a few inches now as we speak, but increasing apparently over time. Have you noticed any evidence of that in Seaside?
We are reading, not necessarily, but we are reading everything we can, because a few years ago when the Vice President Al Gore was talking about climate change, we kind of just listened, kind of. But now it's a very serious thing. It is going to demand that we get into this and to see exactly what's happening. If that ocean rises or continues to rise, yes, we're right on the ocean. Our sea level we're sea level in a lot of Seaside.
Well, what I was getting at is, have you done any measurements there to indicate that you are seeing sea level rise?
I can't tell you that we have, no. But it's going to be an item.
Yeah. And that could be costly.
It could be costly. There's just no question about it. But I just think it's something that we have to we'll be aware of. We're having a goal-setting session, which we have by the council and all the staff department heads in January or February. We do this every 2 years. And I, too, believe totally that that will be on our list of goals. Our list of goals sometimes are two-year goals and four-year goals and beyond. So that now has much more preference, I think, than it did 2 years ago, because there's been so much more in the news. And we've seen some of these changes.
You've seen...
Well, I think we're seeing better weather, much better weather in the West Coast. And that must mean something is happening.
Yeah, well, this summer has sure been extraordinary.
Summer has been extraordinary. Seaside business people are happy. We're very happy. But we still have to be aware of changes that could happen and affect these businesses.
You know, in a similar vein, Don, the I don't know if you've spoken much with Pat Corcoran, but he talks a lot about the subduction zone earthquake, which we've come to expect, and the resulting tsunami. Do you know Patrick?
Oh, yes. Then we also have Tom Horning with us.
Yep.
And he does a lot of I guess, maybe exploring or digging or looking to see what we're doing. And then he tells us what he finds. So we've been working very closely with him. You know, we tried to move our schools up out of the zone, and people just didn't want to do it. And it was also probably because it was over $160 million. But yes, we are very much aware of it. We have new warning signals that we test, not during the tourist season, but we test them the first Wednesday of every month to be sure they're working. And we have them both in English and Spanish. And we're very happy with the results. People are getting used. Oh, here it is, the first Wednesday of the month. Again, I hear it. So But we have a very serious concern because, you know, we can't go very far east unless we go up in the forest land. So that's a tough question, too, or a tough spot, too. We are now looking at our urban growth boundary to expand. And I would assume, we don't have the final, Don Hansen is doing that for us. I would assume it will be up to the east, possibly up in the Huckleberry area, up there where our school is now, Seaside Heights.
Well, that's just what I was going to ask you. Up where the middle school is that out of the inundation zone?
It's right there. No, it's not quite out.
Ah.
Just a few feet from being out. The plan, in other words, I thought maybe we could keep Seaside Heights and work around it to add, but no, we have to go higher than Seaside Heights up into the woods to get out of the zone. But, you know, we have a police station, a fire station, a city hall that are right at sea level.
Right.
Yeah, it is. It is really something. What are we going to do? Where's the money? If we have the big one, we probably won't have a city. My house will be gone. I won't have anything.
Well, my understanding is that due to analysis of the stratigraphy of the mud flats, Oregon State in particular did some research that indicates that these babies come, you know, every few hundred years, and they've been able to track them back in 10 or 12 different events. And according to them, we're due maybe in the next 50 years for a subduction zone earthquake.
And you see, I could say I won't be there, but it's my responsibility to prepare for that.
Right.
I must be the leader in that. Even though I won't be here, I have to be there. And I want to be there. And that's why we have Mr. Horning, Tom Horning, and we've worked with OSU. We've been down there and looked at their wave pool,
mm-hmm.
and they've put buildings in there that look like our Trend West building and some old homes, then they throw the wave over it. And it's frightening. It's very frightening. So, yes, we have a lot to do. Because if we had the big one, we probably wouldn't have a town. So we wouldn't have any infrastructure. What would we have? OSU does work on plans like that, and they do lay out groundwork. So, they know where we are. We know where they are.
You know, another issue that comes up talking about Seaside, particularly in the summertime, is traffic. Now, being from Astoria myself, I've kind of become aware of the traffic patterns at Seaside, and I just kind of avoid it when that's going to happen. But you have to deal with it on almost a daily basis. What kind of traffic plans are you looking at for the future?
Well, we have a transportation plan that, of course, at the end, way at the end, does talk about a road around. There's no question. But we are trying to improve. We're in the STIP now for the 2015 to add a third lane from D down to the South Y. Right now, there's two lanes there, and when you stop to turn, you stop everything. We're doing that. We also we're planning to build the Avenue U Bridge, but then we were about $600,000 short. And at that time, we wanted ODOT to take care of the traffic situation at the Avenue U with the new light and to regulate that to move traffic more quickly. Well, ODOT's would not be involved with us. They wanted nothing to do with that at this time. And because of the Avenue U Bridge came in short, over budget, we've finished the design. We own the design now, and we'll put it on the shelf, waiting for some source of money that will say, hey, do you have anything ready? Boy, are we ready. And then we wanted to redo the intersection of Broadway and the highway, and we lost that. We had that at one time. In 15 and on, and then Tillamook got the money instead. So we're trying, we're working hard. But, you know, people talk about going up on the old Crown Road and making a bypass. Well, you know, that's higher level than part of the peak on the elevation on Highway 26. So I think we'd have we'd have colder weather. It's also full of valleys. It's full of mountains. It's nothing's level up there. It goes over and down and around. It'd be very, very difficult. But I think Astoria is also doing their transportation plan. They might have finished it. And it's going to have to start sometime where we're going to have to. Now, remember, we had a chance to do that. And the original plan by ODOT to move traffic through was a horrendous nightmare. But we changed that whole plan and ODOT spent, I think, almost $6 million engineering that. And then, of course, our voters said no.
That's right. I recall that. Well, I'd like to remind our listeners, Terry, that it's Friday here on Coast Community Radio, and we're visiting with Mayor Don Larson from the City of Seaside. Don, thanks for being with us.
I thank you for inviting me. It's always a pleasure. You two men are part of my fan club. I'm part of your fan club, I mean, and I just enjoy hearing you, and I enjoy this building where KMUN is. It's just a super spot. Plus, I love Astoria.
You know, for years I was involved pushing for what we call the Astoria bypass, actually the Astoria truck route.
Right, right.
And it would come over the hill from John Day and then end up over in Warrenton. But there was some talk at that time about tying the bypass in with Seaside's bypass. We're talking hundreds of millions of dollars, of course.
Yes, hundreds of millions.
Yeah. So it's fun to talk about, but we just don't have the money.
But remember, Jim, we're a small community.
Yeah.
Go down on Highway 26 in Washington County and see what's going on. All the new overpasses, all the new approaches. And we're a small community here. We don't carry the weight.
We don't carry the weight. We don't have the population. We don't have the money. And I know when we were battling for a bypass, so was the city of Dundee. Over in the valley in wine country, and they got their bypass.
And I'm good friends with the mayor of Newburgh, and he said it'll never happen, or one of the past mayors, it'll never happen. It happened.
Yeah.
So, you know, it could happen here too.
Right.
Could happen. We need to move traffic. There's no question. If you're coming from Astoria and you're going to go south, just to go south on 101, and you're coming in July, you're going to sit. Now, if you know your way around, there are several ways around that'll help a little bit.
Yeah.
But generally, you're going to sit.
Well, one road, I can't remember the name of it, that you can take to bypass 101, but you're actually going through a lot of residential areas and places where a lot of traffic really isn't appropriate.
Well, you're probably talking about Wahana Road and also Holiday, the old highway. Wahana Road is a very dangerous highway because there are bicyclists and there are pedestrians. And it's very narrow. Part of it's county, part of it's state, or part of it's in the city of Seaside. So it's a complicated piece. They want to keep log trucks off of it. But if you're coming down from Lewis and Clark, you really can't go south unless you go on Wahana Road because that turn on 101 there by the Pizza Palace is extremely difficult and dangerous.
Yes, it is.
So here we have log trucks going down in front of your house.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
You know, there's been a lot of talk lately about Port of Astoria, and I've noticed that a group of mayors, including yourself, have gotten together and are formulating plans to make some changes there. Could you talk about that?
Well, we got together a few months ago, the three mayors in the South, and talked with Betsy Johnson about why can't we have some help and support. When we were doing our library and moving a house there for the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts, we asked the county to help us, and they said no. They turned us down flat. So we are very unhappy. We pay about 40% of the tax bill to the port. So we just thought we need some help. Now we gave a little bit of help when Steve Fulton asked, well, Don, if you want some help, why don't you appoint somebody from the South County? Well, we gave him Bob Mushin, Dr. Mushin. And now with John Reichel, I think there's a lot of change that could happen in the positive direction. Also, I was on the interview team for the new CEO, executive officer, whatever it is at the port. And we have I believe we have an outstanding man coming to direct it, a man with a lot of experience and know-how in this area. He comes from Olympia. So whether this is going to continue to go the way it looks like in the paper last night, I can't tell you. I don't know. But I believe they're in the process of functioning better now than they have for many years. I think it was 3 or 4 executives in 3 or 4 years, and that just doesn't. The continuity is just not good. It's just not there. And people have quit the port, the commissioners, all volunteers. They've just decided this isn't worth it. I'm getting out of here. I don't like quitters. I don't like them to quit. I think sometimes you need to stick with it. And I've talked to a couple of them. I said, stick with it, stick with it. Come on, we can turn it, we can do it. But it just didn't happen. So I'm very, very disappointed. But the outcome might be super. You know, there are only 2 other ports that are under control of the state. One is Portland, and one is Coos Bay. Whether we'll be the third, I can't tell you.
The new port director, who I haven't met yet, does he intend to actually live here?
Well, yes, I would say he is, and he will. That was brought up during the interview team, or interview time, when we interviewed the team that was applying for. Yes, he said he would live here.
That'd be a change.
Well, if I remember with this one, I think he said his family has grown now and it's okay to move.
Right.
I think he was the one. We had different people say different things about what I would do when I could come and all this. And he finished a project he was doing on it in his last job before he came. That's why it took him more weeks than we had hoped.
Well, after you talked with him, what kind of changes or what kind of programs do you suppose that he'll bring to the port?
I really can't tell you exactly what he'll bring, but he brings a lot of experience with the port. And he seems like an individual that will work closely with the commission. But I think he will talk to the commission. The commission can't go over every bill that the port pays. The commission can't micromanage like they've tried to do. Tried to micromanage. And then they would feud against the logs, feud against the seafood industry, and wouldn't sign the lease. Right or wrong, I don't know whether it's right or wrong, but I believe this man will bring peace, and he'll bring a sense of, let's work on this, people. Let's just not say we're not doing this or we're not doing that until we know exactly what's right to do. That's my feeling.
Well, if you talk to John England or Andrew Bornstein, they'll tell you that the port made promises to them that resulted in those people doing some major capital expenditures, and then the promises never came true.
That is what I read in the paper, and I know John England, and I'll tell you, if I invested the money that he's invested over somebody telling me this is what we're going to do, and it wasn't done, I'd be sick. I'd be sick with the possible financial impact. And I just can't believe. I believe that's happened, or it could happen, but I can't believe a port commission in their right thinking would ever suddenly change that would put a real horrible position against somebody else, because these people have to work together. And I think at times, maybe they were avoiding an answer. In other words, they wouldn't sign the lease or they didn't do that. I don't know why. But from what I read in the newspaper, it sounds like I'm glad I'm not one of those individuals.
Well, and the port went into serious debt to fund a lot of those improvements. Now they owe big-time money to the state, among other people.
The port, when they finished their budget, now remember, they finished their budget the last day of June. To me, that's almost unbelievable. We like to have our budget done at least a month before. We have all the people, we have 7 members of the budget committee with 7 members of the council, and we go over it page by page. We have 187 pages in our Seaside budget, and we go page by page. In other words, we couldn't do that the last minute. and they did it, and they said they came up with a profit. Well, they said they have $500,000 somewhere. Maybe they do. They must. They say they do. One of the candidates for the port, and I can't tell you which one, there were three, did say that he would like to have an auditor take a look at the budget to be sure it's exactly what it says it is, which turns me on because, hey, maybe there is something that's not right. I assume it's right, but it could be that an auditor needs to take a look at it.
Well, my understanding is that they have an auditor that's been trying to take a look at it, but the books are in such disarray that the auditor can't make sense of the audit.
Well, the commission says that everything is fine now as of the June 30th. So we'll wait and see.
Yeah.
But the port is vital to us. Vital to us. We need the port badly. Wonderful jobs there. And seafood, Astoria, the county, seafood. It's high stuff. Evidently, logs are too, but are we still shipping them out as many logs as we thought we would?
Well, there seems to be a lot of logs going out, but I hear a lot of people say, why are we shipping raw logs? Why are we shipping finished product?
I am against shipping raw logs. I want our men and women to run the mills, and let's ship the final product.
Mm-hmm.
Just seems like but I don't know the ins and outs, Jim. You've been in the construction business. You probably know much more about it than I do. But I don't like those logs being loaded.
Well, apparently part of the problem is that the finished lumber is a lot cheaper to buy it from Canada than from here. So, the Canadians don't ship logs. They ship out lumber.
You would know that better than I. We get a lot of our cedar from Canada, a lot of our cedar, because we don't have much cedar growing. I think we only grow about 10% cedar in the state of Oregon. So we get a lot of cedar from them. Finished product.
Now, Betsy Johnson, Senator Johnson, has got some kind of an initiative or something going on that I'm not familiar with. Do you know anything about it?
On the port?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes, she wants the governor to take over. She wants the legislature to pass a law or pass whatever, I don't know what it's called, and where the governor would appoint. We would nominate possible commissioners, but the governor would make the final appointment.
Well, I have to tell you, the governor is not very popular on the North Coast.
He is extremely unpopular in the North Coast, thanks to the gill netters and what he's done to them. Sport fishing is his interest. I agree with you.
Well, apparently he was here a few days ago, was having lunch down at Clemente's, and Lisa Clemente Tarabacchia walked up to him and let him know that we were not happy with his work toward the North Coast.
And that's vital. That's a very, very important for a person to walk as a human being to the governor, who is also a human being, just a different title, and tell him, you're not helping us. And we need help.
Yeah.
We need help. Minimum wage doesn't do it.
Well, we got a couple of minutes left here, Don, so I'm wondering what other issues you want to get on the table here before we're done.
Well, we're doing a lot in Seaside. We're just doing a lot. We're becoming real green on our wastewater, and I'm very, very proud of what we're doing. We have a real ambitious staff, a lot of good department heads, and we've handled ourselves through the recession. We're seeing a little increase now. The summer was wonderful. We're very, very happy. We've collected Hood to Coast. That's always a good item. Hood to Coast. I think we've perfected the Hood to Coast run the best we can. The Hood to Coast pays us $18,000, and we call that kind of a payment for interfering with our one day of beach life. But we've used that, Jim, beautifully. We've equipped our parks. It might take 2 years to buy the equipment, but we've equipped our parks with that money. Plus, they pay for the upkeep of the beach and what to get it ready. They pay for that. So,
well, you also have the sandcastle thing.
That's in Cannon Beach.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and they've done that
Wait, I'm thinking of the volleyball thing.
Volleyball.
Does the city make any money off of that?
The chamber makes some money.
Okay.
But the chamber makes some money and puts money back into the city that way.
Right.
Yes, it's fantastic. It's done a beautiful job. The difficult part on the chamber is, of course, setting the nets and doing all that work. It's a lot of work. Our chamber works for every penny they get. And we're very, very happy to have that. Our 4th of July, if we didn't have the 4th of July, I don't know where we'd be. These keep us going.
Yeah.
This is what keeps us going.
Well, it's been Friday here at Coast Community Radio, and I've really enjoyed my chat with Don Larson. Don, thanks a lot.
Well, Jim, I thank you for inviting me. I thank you for being here. I enjoy talking about what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd urge our listeners to stick around for Albert Smith's always wonderful Friday folk show. And I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Jim.